Hello, it is September 21st, 2015. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 528 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am your aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. Welcome back. Forgive my voice. There are two things that you might notice from the sound. One, hopefully it sounds better because I got a nice microphone. I'm happy with it. I think it sounds okay. Should be less, you know, computer mic-y. Unfortunately, my voice is almost completely gone because I have a yearly thing. Those who watch the starters on NBA TV or old-time fans of the Basketball Jones podcast, J.E. Skeets is an old friend of mine. We used to work together at Deadspin. He lives in Atlanta with the whole TNT basketball crew. He and I once a year go to a Georgia football game. We went to the Georgia South Carolina game. We screamed for 3.5 hours. We drank lots of bourbon. And this is as smoky as I ever sound. Anyway, just one podcast again this week. I'm traveling so much. Last week I was in Simi Valley, California for the Republican debate. This week I am in Champaign, Illinois, poisoning young minds of the University of Illinois and the Daily Illini with faulty, foolish dreams of writing success. I'm just hoping they'll employ me when they eventually take us over and enslave us to robots. And then the week after that, I am actually doing the same thing to Syracuse University students. It's that time of year, the time to rot young minds. If you listen to this show, you know just how much those minds will be rotted. Anyway, so there's just one show a week for the next couple of weeks, and then baseball playoffs are going to start, and it's going to be just nuts. So hang with us. It's just going to be me and Allison for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll have some pretty special guests to start previewing the baseball postseason and all that other business. There's other sports too, apparently. Anyway, here's Allison Footer. We are talking about the final 2 weeks of baseball. Here she is. Smoky voice. All right, Allison, this is an accident, but this week's podcast is another edition of Footer and Leach, Cardinals and Astros edition. They do happen to be probably the two biggest stories in baseball right now, and so let's concentrate on each of them. First, let's talk about the Cardinals-Cubs series. First, by the way, how you doing? Everything good?
Everything's wonderful, thank you.
Sorry, I dispensed with the formalities. I think we have a good relationship now. There's no need reason. I'm sure you're fine. If something was wrong, you'd tell me.
If something was wrong, we wouldn't be doing the podcast. So right, so we can just get right to it.
All
right,
good. But I want to yammer. No, that's not banter anymore. Okay, so Cardinals Cup Series. Cardinals scratch out a win at the end. They're now 6 games up on the Cubs. The Pirates won, so now the Cubs, for all this excitement the Cubs fans have, and they should be having, it's a very exciting time, they are still in third place, 6 games out, and still likely to be on the road in the wild card game. But that is not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about beanballs. The Cubs-Cardinals series, you know, you've got, has the Astros Rangers series, we always talk about that wanting to get like a rivalry, but they haven't had like beanball stuff, right? That hasn't really happened.
No, the only thing that happened was a couple of months ago when the Rangers were in Houston, and I think it was Odor that seemed to be taking a little bit too much time to get to the plate, and Hank Conger had some words for him, and then Hank stood up, and then I think it was Elvis Andrews, but I could be wrong. Somebody came up behind Conger to sort of defuse the situation, but that did not sit well with the Astros, and then there was kind of just a lot of jawing, and then I don't know. I think AJ Hinch might have touched Prince Fielder's shoulder, and then Jeff Banister and AJ Hinch were like jawing at each other, and it was like super fun to watch. They were wearing throwback uniforms, so they all looked ridiculous anyway. And they had this; it was like fantastic, and everyone's like, "Woohoo! Yes! Now the Astros and Rangers have a true rivalry." And then like the next time the two teams played each other, Hinch and Banister are hugging. Yeah. Everyone's being nice. So no, they're not to that point yet. It's going to be a really long time to where there's like that real, true like animosity. Cubs, Cardinals, Yankees, Red Sox. Like I really don't like you. It goes beyond, you know, baseball. Like Dusty Baker and Tony La Russa hated each other. I mean, you know, it's they're far from that.
And it's been a long time since the Cardinals and Cubs have had like a hate rivalry. I think that there have been years they've been both in contention at the same time. 2008 is really the last time that happened. But even then, there was no, like, the Cubs were a little bit better that year, and it's right before the Cardinals took off, and then the Cubs fell back so much. So there really hasn't been this kind of rivalry. But it really got heated up this weekend. And a lot there, of course, there was everyone got a big kick out of Joe Madden saying, I've never read the Cardinal Way book thing that they're talking about, which, by the way, Howard Megdal has a book coming out called The Cardinal Way. Joe Madden grew up, and it's basically about like, it's within the Cardinals front office, like talking to everyone about like what they actually mean and how it's an actual handbook. And I really don't want to get into one of those arguments again, but the point is, there's an interview with Madden in the book where Madden literally says, oh yes, I've read their Cardinal Way handbook and it's really smart. We're trying to do a lot of things like that with the Cubs.
Really?
But yes, but Madden knows exactly what he's doing. Madden knows exactly what he's doing. He's a very smart manager. He's a very good motivator, and he has gotten the biggest kick out of not only firing up his team, but tweaking the Cardinals. And I think that's exciting, and that's totally cool. What is not totally cool, I'm sorry, there's nothing stupider in baseball than when you throw it, guys. Like, I don't care whether it's something that's happened for 100 years. I don't care if Bob Gibson did it. I don't care if guys moving in on you. There, I made this joke on Twitter, and it's not even really a joke, but, like, there's literally no organization on the planet outside of extremist sects that throwing a rock at someone is considered an actual solution to a problem.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. And it becomes a deadly weapon if you throw it at somebody's head. I have no patience for it. And I have had some run-ins on Twitter with Royals fans who took exception to things that I was saying a while back. I think it's the dumbest thing you can do. It's, there isn't even a word to describe it. Dumb is not even a proper word. These idiots that are on the field, these grown men acting like morons, yeah, and taking it upon themselves to throw things at someone's head at 95 miles an hour. I get the whole, I mean, I know you're talking about the entire spectrum of beanballs, which is also like at the letters, maybe on the butt, maybe hit him in the leg. I agree that it's all ridiculous, but I don't care how great of a pitcher you are. And I realize that these major league pitchers are the very best in this profession, the very best ball players on the planet. There is an opportunity. There is a chance that a ball can slip. And if you're aiming for their shoulder or the back of the jersey and you accidentally get their head, I have no patience for it. And it infuriates me as it infuriates you.
It's unbelievable. You're right. These are grown men. Like, I know it doesn't seem like that. Listen, I've interviewed a lot of them and you've interviewed a lot of them. They don't always seem like grown men. But they are, in fact, grown men.
And they're acting like idiots.
And like literally, if my 3-year-old throws something, I'm like, you are too mature for this. Stop it.
Right.
And I mean, it's and so let's go through the actual semantics of what happened. There didn't seem to be any issue other than the general Cardinals-Cubs general issue until Matt Holliday pinch hitting on Friday. Yeah, on Friday. He was pinch hitting on Friday because he still can't start full time. They're still working him and Matt Adams back. He was hit in the head with a pitch. Now, as a backstory on that, Mike Matheny, the Cardinals manager, his career was ended because of concussions. He is very, like, all baseball people, as you know, are very sensitive about getting hit in the head with stuff. But Matheny is really, really, really sensitive about that stuff. Like, he's the one that really was one of the main guys that pushed the block the plate rule. And, like, really once, like, is freaked out about head injuries in a way that frankly, the NFL should hire him and they should actually do some business. And then the Cardinals could get a good strategist, actually. Anyway, but the point is, this is his sensitive thing. So when that happened, it appears that the Cardinals threw at Anthony Rizzo. It does appear that they threw at him. And to me, and afterwards, it appeared that the Cubs threw at Colton Wong. Like, that appeared to be what happened. They got warned. Madden got thrown out. I'm not sure where they did. When I talked about this, a lot of Cubs fans claim the Cubs have made a big thing out of never retaliating, which I have to say I don't believe, not because the Cubs are like bad people, because this is just so ingrained in baseball. I find it like it would be as radical as anyone does in all of baseball to not retaliate by throwing at people. Everybody does this, and it's completely stupid all the time. And it's so frustrating to me to have this turn into the Cardinal way and the Cubs are the new thing. You're both idiots. You're both stupid for doing this. And so it absolutely drives me crazy, and I can't. And I know, like, I don't even think it's like a moralist. Like, I don't like, you know, you and I have argued in the past about PEDs and other like moralists. I'm definitely not a baseball moralist. It's not a moral thing. It's you guys are freaking idiots. Like, stop it. There's nothing else that people just like. Imagine there's no other sport that does this. Like, in hockey, they don't like whack the puck at people's faces. They just don't. Like, right. Like they don't take basketballs. They don't take the natural motion of the sport and use it as a weapon. And it's just, it's so caveman and idiotic. And the fact that it's not, and the fact that Matheny felt like he had to do it, not just because of the concussion thing, but because he has to protect his guys. Like, eventually someone's going to get killed. And this whole, and we're going to say this entire time, we were screaming for you to stop it. And they're all going to be like, hey, it was part of the game. But it's not part of the game.
No, it's not part of the game. And if you look at the batted ball that killed Mike Kulba, where that hit him on his head, yeah. You can easily do that with a thrown ball. I know that it wouldn't be at the exact same velocity, but certainly that area of the head is not protected by a helmet. So we can say that.
Definitely.
You know, and I felt that, you know, after reading Joe Madden's comments, and I, you know, I mean, who's not, I really like Joe Madden.
Oh, Madden's awesome. Cardinals, Madden,
everybody but Cardinals fans really do like the guy.
For the record, like, for the record, any halfway decent Cardinals fan likes Joe Madden. Like, he's the Cubs manager, so you have to hit him a little bit. But Joe Madden is undeniably awesome, and I don't see how anyone couldn't see that.
No, and he uses words that you have to spell check and look up to see what they mean, like in his post-game press conferences. It's beautiful. But when he's like, you know, I know that you're not going to believe me, but those pitches, those hit-by-pitches, you know, after yesterday's game, those weren't on purpose, and I can take it, Cardinal Nation. I know. I'm like, okay, there's a point, like, where, and this is where, like, I have a hard time, like, maintaining a professional objectivity when I'm trying to, like, look at this game from a reporter's standpoint and not just roll my eyes until they're literally sitting in the back of my head. I can't lower myself to the level of stupidity that some of these people expect me to absorb what is actually what they're saying. And they have minions, like so many people that are like riding on everything they're saying and believing them. I'm like, okay, I have to stop you right there. It was the same thing when Buddy Black got fired. And I'm like, if you people expect me to believe anything except that you were waiting for the first possible moment that they weren't good to get rid of the guy, I can't sit there and nod my head like a moron as if I'm believing this. So no, Joe Madden, I did not believe that those were just totally happenstance, and that three hit-by-pitches were just so randomly coincidental that it happened during this whole weekend.
And it's funny, you know, Colton Wong, he was interviewed after the two hit-by-pitches, and he said, this is his quote, he said, I think anytime you get hit somebody in the head, regardless whether it's meant to happen or not, that's not okay. Which, A, I agree.
Yeah.
Secondly, if it's not meant to happen, don't retaliate. I don't care what, like, to me, that's what's very frustrating about Matheny doing that. Like, it's clear, it was obvious that the Cubs were not trying to throw it at Holiday's head. They just weren't.
Of course.
Like,
of
it was
course.
A one-run game. Like, it was a mistake. Like it sucks. And the Cardinals are very sensitive about Holiday right now. And he's a veteran. Whenever you hit a veteran guy or their star, that always freaks everybody out even more. It's why the Cardinals hit Rizzo, because he's their star. And they had to.
Right. But you're not. But Mike, Matt Holiday is not a, as we say, what's the word we use? What's the word we use when someone's a jerk and you don't want to say he's a jerk? Polarizing.
Polarizing.
Matt Holiday is not a polarizing
right,
guy.
Right.
Like,
I was going to say asshat. But I think polarizing is actually the right word.
Matt Holliday's really good baseball player, actually is pretty well-regarded and well-liked through baseball. So, I don't think that anybody was purposely throwing at his head.
And it was obvious. And I think even the Cardinals acknowledge that that the Cubs were not purposely throwing at Holliday's head.
Sure.
But they threw at Rizzo anyway. Because, and to me, that is insane. That's absolutely insane. But then listen to Wong. This is the next thing he says. He says, we didn't hit Rizzo in any place that I don't think is even going to give him a bruise. Now, that is an acknowledgement right there that they meant to do it, and they weren't trying to hurt him. So, but then the worst part about it is that Wong, after that, seems to think that, like, hey, listen, we didn't leave a bruise on Rizzo. We should be done now. And he's complaining about him getting hit twice, and then Madden saying it was an accident. And you just take a step back and you realize these are 6-year-olds on the playground going, he did it. No, he did it. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to leave a mark. I just gave you an arm twister. It's just going to be a little blood blister. Like, it's unbelievable that these are grown men paid millions of dollars to do this. And I really, like, I almost always, and you probably noticed this in conversations that we've had, I almost always come down on the sides of players against management and generally giving players the benefit of the doubt. I feel like we go after players because it's easier to go out for them after them because we see them every day and they make a lot of money, so they become targets and kind of we go after them sometimes in a way that I think is sometimes unfair. This is not one of those things. This is completely stupid and awful. And to me, it sullies what is becoming an awesome. Like, I've been waiting my whole life for the Cardinals and Cubs to play in a pennant chase. Like, I remember, as I mentioned before, I grew up right in that line in Illinois where north of me is all Cubs fans and south of me is all Cardinal fans. So this Cardinal-Cubs rivalry is something that, like, is just ingrained in me. Like, I hate the Cubs, not because I actually hate the Cubs. I love the Cubs. The Cubs are, like, the type of fan base and the type of franchise you really want in baseball with very loyal fans in a beautiful stadium, an iconic franchise. But I hate them the way that I hated Bobby Knight growing up and the way and to me, that's great. Like, that is awesome. And to me, I've been waiting so long for the Cardinals and Cubs to have this and for this to happen. And it's all sullied by this junk.
Oh, you know what my favorite thing is, though? Okay, so if you ever, like, the next time you look at a bench-clearing brawl where there's actually possibly contact made or something close where it's, you know, it looks pretty good. If you look at, like, the person who is kind of at the forefront of the screaming and yelling and he's, like, completely furious and he's just going out of his mind, it's not until somebody actually, like, holds him back that he's like, okay, let me at him. Yeah, and then he tries to, like, thrust himself towards somebody because somebody's already, like, holding him back. So, you know, this whole, like, macho BS thing, it's like, it's a joke because 70% of the guys out there that actually supposedly want to get into an actual physical altercation don't do it until a teammate's already holding it back. It's beautiful. I've been studying this a lot over the years, as you can tell.
And that's the thing, too, is that, like, I have to say one thing that I feel like, like, I wouldn't like this either, but I would almost more appreciate, like, a couple guys just punching each other.
Right. Like, just, like, you're not happy about other. It. Just storm them down.
Go, right? And, like, listen, I think that's a stupid way. I think it's a stupid way to settle conflicts also. But it's a more honest way than pretending you want to fight but not doing it or throwing a rock at a guy.
Exactly.
And so, like, that's, to me, that's just very frustrating that became, and I know some people, listen, I get that some people like it. I get that, like, not so much that they like seeing people get hit, but they like that, like, the blood's boiling between the Cardinals and the Cubs now, and they like that. But to me, you know, I'm sorry, I think the blood can boil just fine without people getting hit with rocks. And
I will have to say, though, when I was in high school, I was in St. Louis, and there was a Giants-Cardinals game, and there was a 3-times bench-clearing brawl, and it was ugly. And, you know, it was pretty fun to watch.
Oh,
it was
course.
The 80s. It was like the norm back then, but it was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a famous clip. I don't know if – I think this might be the same one. There's probably the famous clip of, like, basically Ozzie Smith – and I believe Tommy Herr, like, attacking Will Clark at second base. They, like, flipped him over on the base. It was, like, ugly and broad. But, like, that's a fight. Like, I feel like there's something different about a fight. Like, I'm sorry, I don't care. Like, I don't care how big of a – Mike Trout is not killing a guy with his bare hands. Like,
of course.
And the strongest guy in the game is not actually going to. Giancarlo Stanton is not going to kill him. If he swings a bat at him, he'll kill him. But, like, if an actual, honest – I think fights are stupid, but I can respect a fight. What I can't respect is this – stupid. Ugh. So yeah. Anyway, so we'll wrap up that with saying that, like, that's what that series is. The Cardinals are up 4 on Pittsburgh, 6 on the Cubs, there's 2 weeks left. So the Cardinals have a homestand this week, 3 against Milwaukee, 3 against Cincinnati. I will actually be at one of those games against Cincinnati. Then the road at Pittsburgh and at Atlanta. Cardinals still look to be, as much as I was despairing last week, and knock on wood, they still seem to be in pretty good shape to win that division. The closest race, in fact, we have goes over to your neck of the woods, the Houston Astros and the Texas Rangers. Last time we talked, we were like, wow, this series is going to be amazing. 4 games, Astros, Rangers, and what happened?
And I'm not just saying this because it happened, but before that series started, I said, I don't think they're going to win any of these games.
Yeah.
The Astros are a really good 500-ish team that got lucky to be in the division that it's in and played. And, you know, A.J. Hinch had him playing at, like, a 92-win pace like most of the season. So, I mean, you got to give him credit. They are terrible. They are 17 games under 500 on the road. And that has got to be inexperience and youth and very little else. There's really no other way to explain it. But when you go into that kind of environment, and the Rangers are getting hot – at the right time, and they're obviously were the hottest team in baseball while they were playing the Astros. They're also like a team of veterans, a team that's been there before, a team that's used to what's going on here. And so I really think that the Rangers are going to end up winning the division solely because they end the season at home and the Astros end the season on the road. So I really do believe that that's going to be the difference.
And next weekend, Houston is at home against Texas, correct? That's a three-game series in Houston next weekend.
Yeah, and then the Astros go on the road. They're in Seattle, and then they end the season in Arizona where they get to lose the DH. The pitchers get to hit, so that'll be fun.
That'll be good.
And they're going to try to win. I don't know. I mean, you know, we don't know what the situation's going to be by then. But, I mean, it's been, you know, it's been a rough stretch for them. Everyone's calling this a collapse. I don't see it that way because, of course, they are collapsing. But this is like – this was they weren't even supposed to be in this position anyway. This was supposed to be that transitional, like, oh, yay, they got 80 wins this year and then really, like, turn it on for next year. If this was 10 years ago when the team was older, you know, they knew their window was closing in 2005. They're like, we got to get this pennant done or we have to start breaking it down and start over soon. You know, the farm system was drying out. This is a totally different situation. So while people are freaking out and I don't expect the Astros fans to really see it this way, and certainly the, you know, the front office, you know, marketing people don't see it this way. But like, if they don't make the playoffs, that's not like the worst thing in the world. And I don't think heads need to roll. And I don't think anybody needs to be calling for the manager to be fired. It's like, they're just getting started. And so you put the same group in this situation next year, and this isn't going to happen. They're just not ready for this yet.
But I mean, it is worth noting that they are still, they're 2.5 up in the wild card, and
yeah,
with a very key series even before they get to the Rangers win with the Angels, who have gotten, I hesitate to say hot because none of these
they're not
are really getting that hot, but they're making up some ground right now. The Yankees, by the way, the Yankees are like getting awfully close to actually clinching one of these wild card spots.
I have to say that I do think that the Astros have a pretty good chance to actually play in that wild card game. I'm not writing them off by any stretch, but when you have led the division for as many days this season as they have, and now, I mean, it would be kind of a miracle for them to retake the division. Well, but I do think that they're probably
a game and a half.
Wild card game.
Yeah, it's just a game and a half. If they can pull a sweep the way the Rangers did, they have to, sweep as many games. They will be back ahead in that division, assuming that the Angels don't wipe them out. My thoughts on this. I want. There's something about a Houston. It's hard to think of two franchises that are actually more have had opposite routes to the postseason differently more than Houston and the Yankees. Like the idea of a Houston at the Yankees wild card game. That's. I would think I would enjoy that. I think I would.
Think it'd be awesome.
That would be. Would you go to that? Would you try to get out there? Would that be from the couch?
I don't have any idea what my assignments are going to be. If I went, it would be because I'm helping, you know, the coverage team. But I would hope that I would be helping on that wild card game. But I have absolutely no idea. But oh man, I think it'd be great because I mean, you really have to be strategic about. I mean, there's really only one guy that you want to be throwing that game, and that's Dallas Keuchel. And Yankee Stadium, it's an interesting place to try not to let the atmosphere get in your head, and. I'm still not that impressed with the Yankees. So, I think it'd be a very even match.
Assignment editors at MLB.com. I know you're listening. You own this podcast. Send Allison to New York if they go, for crying out loud.
I'm happy covering any series, honestly. It would just be weird. Like, if I was, like, on the NL wild card, I mean, which I would, oh, my God, love. I think I'd almost rather be covering that. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to, you know. But – it would be so weird for an Astros playoff game to just be happening and I'm not there. That would be just really bizarre.
That's what I'm saying. I agree. I couldn't agree more. That's exactly what I'm saying. So, and of course there may not be one like that's 2.5. This is, it strikes me particularly for a team that struggles so much on the road this week of 6 home games, Anaheim and Texas is just massive. Are you going to be at the games? Are you going to be there or no?
I will be at the Astros Angels, and then I'm going to Chicago for the Cubs Pirates.
Cubs Pirates. Oh, good, 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 good.
You know what's so funny is like that game that they had that miraculous comeback against the Angels, and they scored all those runs off of Houston Street, the ninth inning, and they were a strike away from losing the game. Houston Street apparently had the stomach flu. He was like throwing up the entire game. Like, why would you have him out there? What in the world? So the Astros were basically like one Houston Street stomach bug from being like having a 9-game losing streak right now.
Yeah. Does it make it less thrilling of a comeback when everybody, I mean, it's just because the guy was dying to stop from puking? Like, you're like, oh, well, that's like, I guess it's still fun. But after,
no, so, I don't think it's any less thrilling. I'm like, what are the Angels thinking? I just don't understand that. I mean, you know how, how do you feel when you have a stomach bug? Like, sometimes I can't even make it. Well, I don't want to, get graphic, but pitching in a major league game, I mean, that's doesn't even sound like feasible to on a hot day. And, I don't know. That was a mistake on their part.
Well, this week is going to be huge for them. Also this week, because I'm excited. Like, it's amazing. You know, I feel a little bashful saying this, but I find since we started these podcasts, I keep a close eye on Houston. And it's not just because I Colby Rasmus was supposed to be the next Cardinals great prospect until him and Tony La Russa got in a fight. I think just because Colby Rasmus had long hair. That's the Tony La Russa thing to do. So I find myself keeping a close eye on Houston. This is a very, very exciting week for them. I think it's going to be great. So good luck to Nizola and the rest of the Astros fans. And I wish you good luck in your going forth your professional duties of covering a professional baseball game. Also, so other happenings this week. We'll wrap up this. I don't want to go too much longer. It looks like in the next couple of days the Cardinals clinched a playoff spot over the weekend, but they're in such a crazy tight race that no one feels like they've clinched a playoff spot. Like they're in, but if the Cardinals end up playing in the wild card game, it's going to feel like a defeat no matter what. But they are in, so they can say that. But it does.
Yeah, they're not going to be playing in the wild card game. That's silly.
They got three of Pittsburgh. They've gotten swept by them before. I take nothing for granted. That division, Pittsburgh is too good. The Cubs, it's funny. I want to say the Cubs are too far back, but like they're only two behind Pittsburgh. There's 12 games, 13 games left. It does. It strikes me as not impossible that the Cardinals would. The Cardinals' magic number is 10, but one team that the magic number is 3 is Kansas City. They look like they are going to clinch. Probably in the next couple of days. Like,
should this have happened already?
Yeah, it has. They have in fact struggled. Cueto finally got it back going.
Yes.
After we destroyed him last week unknowingly. But the Royals are, but good for the Royals, because one of the things that always makes me a little sad, unless you do it in Arizona, because that means you get to go get in the pool and anger everyone, it makes me sad when a team doesn't clinch a home. And the Royals have 3 against the Mariners and 3 against the Indians. They start a homestand. They're going to be able to clinch this at home probably on Tuesday or Wednesday. So early congratulations to the Kansas City Royals, who it's so strange to think that last year having the Royals in the postseason just felt surreal. It just felt weird having in the postseason. And we've just been assuming they're going to be in the postseason for 3 months now. So early congratulations to Kansas City. But everyone, it's great. And I'd never actually been to Kansas City until the World Series last year. I never seen a game there before. I'm assuming it wasn't always that loud.
No, that was, it's not always been that loud, but that's always been a fantastic place to watch baseball. And I remember loving it 15 years ago when interleague play started. But the atmosphere when they had that place packed was absolutely amazing. It was funny because I'd really very sporadically been there over the years, but I was there for a week in September during pennant races, and I was there for the ALCS and the World Series. It became like old hat to me, and I still think that is one of the absolute premier places to watch a baseball game and to host a baseball game for the media. Oh my God. I mean, that press box it's like a dream come true. So I'm all for the Royals going deep into the postseason again.
My only problem with Kansas City's park is it's a beautiful park. My only problem with it is it's not like near like a place that you can walk. And I always prefer downtown parks. Don't be wrong. That's still a better park than some parks that are downtown. But that is the one kind of negative thing I find about the Kansas City ballpark is that it's not downtown.
There's
no place you can like walk to have a beer before the game. Like you have to drive out there and kind of sit there. I always find that a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, no, San Francisco has, why that's the greatest place to watch a baseball game, work a baseball game, have a postseason series, have a World Series. You can go to this fantastic grilled cheese place that's like 3 blocks from the ballpark and then come back and then the games start at like 5:30 and then you're at Dave's on 2nd Street having a beer after the game. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. And it's funny, if you look at the postseason, it's funny because I do this every year because I'll be traveling to the World Series, wherever it is. And I always find myself going, okay, where do I want to, like, obviously I want to be in St. Louis, but in addition to that, like, where do I want to go? And I felt like last year, San Francisco, anytime San Francisco makes the World Series, it's a very positive thing. I've still never seen Texas's ballpark or Houston's ballpark. So those are places I am totally okay with. I would see a lot of old friends in New York. Have you been to Toronto? Do you like Toronto?
That's the one. That's the only one. That's the only one in baseball I have not been to. Yeah, Toronto.
That if it happens in Toronto, there are some nice places. Toronto also has a downtown ballpark, so that's another nice. You just have to pay them in what, drachmas. I don't know what currency they use in the Toronto. Probably drachmas. But anyway, so also this week, two other chances to clinch this week. The Dodgers' magic number is 7. That puts it maybe, probably not going to clinch, but they certainly could. And the Mets are 8. We don't know what happened in the Sunday night game, but they're the 8 magic number. So we're starting to get to the point where we're going to start putting some of this postseason stuff in full black magic marker. And it's very exciting because this means it's almost here.
It's really amazing, like, how I mean, the races were so close for so much of the season. And it's really, I mean, there's a lot of not close races anymore, that, and they haven't been close for over a week.
Yeah. Also, I find it hilarious that Washington has finally gotten on a winning streak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good timing, guys. Like, way to go. We were desperate for you. If you would, like, it's funny if Washington even wins one of those three crazy games that they had where they got swept, that's a 4.5 game lead. Like, that's still a relatively comfortable lead, but like 4.5 in 2 weeks, the way Washington's playing right now, you could have seen that, but. One more thing for Washington Washington fans to grumble all winter. So,
are we worried about Cespedes yet, or are we not so much?
I think
should we worry about him, and then he'll reverse that, like in the game tonight.
Like, he's a streaky, yeah, exactly. I'm like the same way we worried about Cueto. So no, we worried about Cueto and he got drilled. So if we worry about Cespedes, he'll strike out 4 times.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but I'm actually more worried about Yadier Molina. It appears that he sprained his thumb in the Cup game today. So
that's nice.
I think they think he actually stayed in and caught the rest of the inning, which may just be him being dumb. But I think that
he's Superman. Superman.
Listen, I went through a postseason, a whole second half of the season, a postseason without Yadier Molina last year. It was unpleasant. So no offense to Tony Cruz, who had a great play today, actually. But okay, so also I had one more thing for you. We're going to do a little production meeting on air, Allison. One thing I'm so excited about about the playoffs. It's just, I just lose my mind over them. I think that we should do like short, like 5 to 10 minute podcasts on each series, previewing each series beforehand. Like little individual ones. People will be like, wow, they're coming all over the place. It'll be Footer and Leach in LTS. Footer and Leach, yeah, wild card, NL wild card. It'd just be 5 or 10 minutes. And are you up for that?
I am up for that, and I promise not to call anybody an idiot.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yes, I'm absolutely up for that. That'd be awesome.
I gotta say, I'm looking at the standings now. Houston is 50-25 at home and 29-46 on the road. Even for like a young team that's learning how to win on the road, that's insane.
It's insane. It's ridiculous.
That is a worse road record. That's a worse road record than Oakland, than Detroit, than Boston, than Cincinnati. Yeah. Like, that is absolutely crazy. That's absolutely,
I mean, it's
crazy.
So it's just, and they're a game and a half out of the division lead. That's what's amazing, is like, you would think you can't possibly, I get it, 50-25 at home, I mean, that's awesome, but I mean, no, you can't be losing like that on the road. I mean, it doesn't matter where they go. Like, it's just, it's not all just the good teams. I mean, they, you know, they've been like 4 games under, they started the season like 18-7, and then they've been like 3 games under 500 since. I mean, you know, they've kind of played to their abilities since then, but at the same time, that's why I can't think of any other reason why this would be happening except for just inexperience, you know. I mean, how else can it be? And now it's going in their heads. Yeah. So now they'll go on the road and they're going to play 2 teams that aren't any good, in the Mariners and the Diamondbacks. Actually, the Diamondbacks are a little scary. And will it be in their heads when they have everything on the line, yet there's going to be, you know, 18,000 people in the ballparks every night? It's not going to be that much of a hostile environment. Or is that going to be like the time when they finally get their act together and they win, they go like 6-0, and they get into the playoffs? So who knows?
And then they're the chic pick that everyone, whoever wins like a bunch of games in the last week, they always become the chic pick for everyone to be like, look out, they're hot.
And I'll be like, I totally believed in them this whole time. I don't know why all of you detractors were just bashing them. I knew they could pull this off.
I agree. That's why we will delete all copies of this in all previous podcasts. All right, Allison. So thank you. We'll do this again next week. Next week when we do this, there will only be 1 week left in the Major League Baseball season.
So exciting.
Absolutely wild. All right. Thanks, Allison. We'll chat next week. Have a wonderful time being in two. You are right where the action is for the next week. I'm very envious.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I think the Cubs game, I think ESPN picked that up next Sunday night, so we'll have to figure out a better time to record.
Oh, man. We'll figure out. Maybe we'll get to do it live from the ballpark. Does Pittsburgh have – oh, that's in Chicago. Does Chicago have good wireless or not?
They do. And I'm so excited to get back there. I cannot wait.
Oh, it's – I have not been there. Have you been there since there's the new scoreboard thing? I haven't seen it since they have all the new wing deals.
No, I haven't been there since 2011. It's making me crazy.
Yeah. It's like you got to get back. Yeah, I'm – from what I understand, it doesn't actually hurt any of the experience to have that big board. I think people don't seem unhappy. People were more worried about it than I think myself included, were more worried about it than actually turned out, which is frankly exactly what happened in Boston. So these guys, they may know what they're doing.
The only people that it was harmful to were the people that were watching it from the rooftops. The rest of us, who cares?
Freeloaders. all right. Thank you, Allison. We'll talk next week.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you to Allison Footer. You can follow her on Twitter at Allison Footer, AlysonFooter. You can also, of course, read her work at MLB.com all week and follow her from Houston and Chicago. Are you going to six games or you will be at all of the games?
I'm going to be at, all six games, three in Houston and three in Chicago.
Wow, I'm getting one. I will be in St. Louis at the Busch Stadium on Tuesday night, and that is the extent of my baseball watching for the week. So, everyone, and I will be poisoning young minds in Champaign. I'm speaking at the University of Illinois this week. I'm poisoning young minds.
Nice.
Yeah, by that I mean I'm going to give them hope rather than be like, don't go into journalism. You'll die. It's all falling apart. I won't say that because I give them hope because, you know, that way, if any of them ever make it, they'll thank me in for reasons that I will absolutely not deserve. That's why older people give hope when they give speeches like this. Not because they actually believe it. It's because if you ever make it big, they'll be like, I was about to quit.
And then I always joke that when I go to like speak to students, I would just run in and say, everybody go into dentistry, and then run out of the room.
Yes, exactly. Listen, there's always people work in a mortuary. People are always dying. Though later than usual. It's probably actually less of a growth business than it was. You know, let's move on. All right, everyone have a wonderful week. This is the Willie's Experience Podcast, Footer and Leach Edition. The music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We will be back next week when she is live from from Chicago, and I am live from Athens, probably sitting where I'm right here. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Enjoy the games. 2 weeks left. Bye.